Chapter 35. Luna City Plaza. Huge, jagged slabs slid out of either wall behind the Mesoamerican arches. Lights and sirens warned everyone away from the bulkheads as they rumbled toward each other. Callie stood close to the shrinking gap anyway, keeping an eye on the monster as it pulled itself forward. The boulevard emergency bulkheads moved slower than she would have liked, but still faster than the tentacled creature. Just before the doors clanged together, it changed course. The tentacles reached to the right, dragged it toward the store. And then, 8 seconds after activation of the emergency lockdown, the two huge slabs of metal came together. Magnetic locks engaged on each table-sized tooth. Air hissed out as the bulkheads sealed and the sirens stopped. Tessa's voice echoed up from Callie's tab.
"I've still got it on screen. It's trying to break into the store. I saw. How many people left in there?
5, maybe 6, I'm not sure. The cameras inside the stores have a different security rating. I think one of you needs to unlock them."
"Don't beat yourself up about it,"
Jake said from behind her. Callie turned and saw him a few meters away, still breathing heavily from racing down to the plaza.
"I should have done more."
"You did what you could."
"How long do they have?"
"I said don't worry about
how long."
"It's an interior door, not pressure sealed or anything. Maybe a little stronger than the ones up in the residential area, just because it's a business."
He slid a few things around on his tab and pulled up a camera view.
"It might last 4 or 5 minutes.
Can we get them out through the vents, the way we thought it could get in?"
"I can try the public address system,"
said Tessa.
"It's not really made to broadcast to single locations, but I might be able to trim down—"
"We don't have time," snapped Callie.
"Just use the system."
She lifted her tab and started skimming through the different apps and permissions in the deputy file.
"It's too late,"
said Tessa. Callie glanced at one permissions bundle, scowled. Was this stuff in any kind of order?
"Too late,"
Jake repeated. He stared at the images on his own tab.
"What?"
"It got in. It's stronger. Didn't even take it a minute to smash through the door."
Callie let her arm drop.
"Are they?"
Jake paused.
"Yeah, think so. Didn't take long. It's already coming back out. Fucking hell, it's half the size of a gravedigger now."
Callie glanced down at his tab. The creature pulled itself forward on 6 or 7 tentacles now. The mass at the back had swollen into a ball of flesh almost a meter across. It slid across the saline cobblestones toward the massive doors.
"It's faster,"
said Tessa's voice.
"I think most people could still outrun it,"
Callie said,
"if they didn't get cornered. I couldn't."
On the tab's small screen, the creature reached up with a massive tentacle, 5 meters long easily. It struck the bulkhead door and the camera vibrated with the impact. Callie reached out and settled her hand on the bulkhead. She stared at the huge panel, watching for a shudder or tremble. She lifted her gaze, followed the huge seam up to the ceiling. The raw mass pressed against her hand. The creature wouldn't be able to. A faint vibration echoed through the bulkhead. It trembled again. The kind of reaction a door would have to a noisy neighbor or someone stomping in the hall outside. A moment later, another tremor worked through the slab and into her fingers.
"I can feel it," said Callie. "But I think we're safe for now."
"That,"
Tessa said,
"is a very optimistic way of looking at things."
On Jake's tab, the creature flailed against the massive door, swinging its tentacles around again and again. Low gravity bounced its body away with each impact. The handful of smaller tentacles pulled it forward to smash at the bulkhead again. Smaller. Callie almost laughed when the thought cycled back through her mind. Judging by the cobblestones and a nearby sign, the small tentacles had to be at least 2 meters long.
"What the hell is that thing?"
She glanced over her shoulder. Gan Batar and the man who'd stood by Paxton both peered at the image, and just past them the woman from the store, Isabel. They locked eyes.
"You got out," said Callie. "I ran after you when you headed out. They locked the door behind me."
"I saw."
Isabel looked at the monster raging against the door.
"Are they—"
Callie considered a few answers. She said nothing and just shook her head. Isabel put her hand over her mouth. Her chin trembled. She turned and stumbled away toward the hotel.
"What is it?"
Gan Batar asked again.
"Some kind of octopus or squid or something?"
"We don't know,"
Callie told him.
"We're pretty sure it's not from around here. It made the zombies."
"Zombies? The dead people,"
said Jake. Gan Batar grunted and shook his head.
"That thing's just wrong."
He wandered away. Some of the crowd followed him. One man sobbed into his hands. Callie studied the image, watched the creature's tentacles whip around, bounce off the door and whip around again, looked at the raw, unfinished tissue of its body. She raised Jake's arm to get a better look at the images on the tab.
"What's all that stuff on its head?"
"Which stuff?"
asked Jake. Callie tugged at the view on his tab, pulling it closer. Behind the mass of tentacles, ivory shards stuck out from the ball of flesh, as if someone had broken two or three plates on the creature and they'd sunk into its tissue.
"Can you get a better look at it on the big screen?"
"I think it's bone,"
said Tessa's voice.
"It looks like it to me, anyway."
"You mean human bones?"
"Maybe,"
said Tessa.
"If the meteorite really is a brain, maybe it's building a skull. Or rebuilding one, I guess."
Jake scowled.
"You mean this is all specific? It's not just random growth. This thing's actually growing into a new space whale or whatever it was?"
"I don't know,"
Tessa said.
"I'm just guessing."
Something blurred through the picture and the image reset to a default gray screen. A rotating Luna City logo appeared.
"What happened?"
asked Callie. Jake tapped the screen a few times.
"Looks like one of the tentacles smashed the camera."
"Damn it."
She pressed her other hand back up against the door. She didn't even make it to a three count before a faint vibration echoed through the door. And then another.
"I've got motion activation set on all the other cameras on Selene,"
Tessa said.
"We'll know if it moves away from the door."
Callie tried to picture the boulevard in her mind.
"Unless it goes right into another vent."
"Don't think it can fit in a vent anymore,"
Jake said.
"You sure?"
"You see the damn thing?"
She tugged on Jake's sleeve and they shuffled across the plaza toward Gleti.
"How many people are on the moon right now?"
He shrugged.
"I don't know. Maybe 300 altogether."
She lifted her own tab.
"Tessa, are you asking about Luna City or the entire population of the moon? And do you want tourists included?"
"Everybody. General ballpark."
"If we added Luna City, the remaining caretaker bases, and tourists, then subtracted the deaths here, we'd be closer to 350.
So 350 people at about..."
Callie glanced over at Gan Batar and Isabel and the man who'd been speaking to Paxton.
"What, maybe 80 kilos on average? That's 2,800 kilos?
28,000,
corrected Tessa.
28 metric tons.
"That's a big monster,"
said Callie.
"Not really. You called it a space whale, and blue whales used to weigh over 300 metric tons.
So it could get bigger?"
"I don't know,"
Tessa said.
"Maybe it's done eating people now. Maybe it'd grow bigger than Luna City if it had enough to eat. Why do you keep asking me questions I can't possibly know the answer to?"
Another low vibration shook the walls. A few more people stumbled away. Two or three others stared at the massive doors with blank expressions. Callie closed the video feed on her tab.
"What the hell are we going to do?"
"Think we're all going to die," said Jake.
She stopped just past the archway into Gletty Boulevard.
"That's not a great attitude."
"Realistic one, though. Sometimes you've got to admit you're not getting out if you really want to see all your options."
She hit the pad to open the door to the sheriff's office.
"Sorry, I've moved past my death wish."
Tessa looked up from the desktop.
"I switched to a camera farther down the boulevard,"
she explained, waving a hand at the big screen.
"It hasn't really moved. It just keeps pounding on the door." "Yeah, people are freaking out a bit in the plaza."
Jake swiped at the desktop and pulled the map back up.
"We should move everybody down to the Arboretum on Khonsu. Get them as far from Celine as possible."
Tessa adjusted her pince-nez.
"Then who's going to keep an eye on the avenues? I can't watch everything, even if I had the right clearances."
Callie raised her tab and skimmed through all the various items in her deputy file.
"We should really do something about that."
"Already checked," said Jake. "Only the sheriff gets the deputization codes."
"Great."
They all stared at the big screen. The monster hit the door again and again. It seemed tireless. Callie tapped the map on the desktop.
"I think we should go back to our first idea."
Jake adjusted his cap.
"Which one was that?"
"The Hathaway."
"Never gonna work. Can't get enough people to it, and it can't reconnect to the elevator."
She shook her head.
"No. The other first plan. We use the carrier to shoot the monster into the sun."
"That was back when it was an inanimate lump of rock. It's bigger than the vault now."
"We were going to send the whole vault up in the cargo section. The monster might be bigger, but it's probably not much more mass-wise, right? The carrier could still move it."
"First, we'd need to get it out of Luna City and into the carrier."
"But we could, right?"
Jake shrugged.
"It'd definitely fit in the cargo area."
"And is a cargo pod strong enough to hold it?"
"Not really my thing. Carriers are rugged, built for space travel and riding the elevators."
He gestured at the screen where the monster slammed itself against the bulkhead.
"Aren't any tougher than an emergency door, though. What if it breaks out an hour or two into the flight and ends up falling to Earth?"
Callie bit her lip.
"You think it could survive re-entry?"
"Survived being a petrified brain in deep space, I'd bet re-entry wouldn't bother it much."
"I'm not a pilot or a physicist," Tessa said. "But I think once it's on its way, it won't matter. It can break out, but its velocity and momentum are still going to carry it on the flight path toward the sun." "Yeah? I just took the basic classes."
"Still leaves us with a big problem," said Jake. "How do we get it on board?"
Callie leaned over the desktop, pulled up the map of Luna City, and swept it wide. She searched around, then pointed at one rectangle.
"That's the Hathaway, right?"
He nodded.
"Okay, look, it's right behind Celine Boulevard."
She drew a line across the map from the northern arm of the city to the carrier.
"If we did the emergency purge, it'd throw everything straight out that way."
Tessa frowned. Jake's mouth flattened into a hard line.
"It gets it out of the city," Callie said.
"Still doesn't get it in the carrier," Jake said.
"It's a start." "I see another problem."
Tessa pushed at the map, shrinking it down. She pointed at the junction of Celine and the central plaza, now marked by a thick, blinking red line.
"The space squid whale is here. The purge knocks off these bulkheads here."
Her fingers swept down to the far end of the boulevard.
"It's too far away. It'll probably get dragged down the street, but it won't get thrown out unless it's closer to the bulkheads when they get opened."
"We need to make it move," said Jake.
"Well, that's the easy part, isn't it?"
Callie shrugged.
"We use ourselves as bait."
"Not my favorite idea so far," said Jake.
"But how do we get it to go after us?"
said Tessa.
"And not the other 300 people still here in the city?"
"We get right in there with it," said Callie.
"We know it'll go for the easier meal over the bigger one. When it first formed, when we had it trapped in the residential area, there were 9 or 10 of us on the other side of the door.
but it stopped trying to break through and went after the older guy at the other end of the hall. If there's somebody at the far end of Celine Boulevard, maybe it'll stop pounding the emergency doors and go after them.
Tessa scowled.
And then what happens? We do the emergency purge, like you said. Open the whole street. Air pressure blasts everyone outside.
Jake furrowed his brow. Everyone?
Bait continues.
Callie swept the map wide again.
Whoever it is leads the tentacle whale thing to the Hathaway and into the cargo section.
So whoever's doing this is doing it all in a spacesuit.
Callie managed a feeble laugh.
I don't know about you, but I'm done being outside without one.
Tessa drummed on the desktop with her fingers.
Celine isn't exactly aimed at the lot where the carrier is, and it's not as if the purge is something we can aim. You might get thrown pretty far from it.
We'll make do.
Also the whole thousands of zombies issue, Jake said.
Callie studied the map again.
We could use Anubis. Somebody's there ready to catch whoever gets thrown out.
He curled his upper lip into his mouth and bit it.
Thought they detached the walkway.
Tessa tapped a few keys and pulled images up onto the screen.
Not entirely. It's open to vacuum, but still connected on one side. Someone could reach it with a suit.
Assuming the hall isn't filled with zombies.
Well, yeah, said Callie. Same deal as before? Slide down, jump over?
Actually, said Tessa, enlarging two more camera views, it might be easier this time to go straight down the avenue and in through the side hatch. It looks like there's only 20-25 zombies in the whole docking hallway. The partial connect slowed them down a bit.
How quickly could there be more?
Not that fast. They wouldn't see us coming. When they did, they'd either get bottlenecked at the one opening, or they'd have to spend time to detach the whole dock.
But then they could pour in, said Jake.
Tessa shrugged.
If it came to that, yeah.
Now we've got some zombie-fighting weapons, though,
she said, tipping her head at Jake's thigh holster.
True, they're not quite as scary when you can take them out from 10 meters away,
Jake shook his head.
Getting to Anubis is pointless, though. We need to be in the boulevard to lure that thing out.
We do both, said Callie. We lure the monster out, and we get the buggy. When we do the emergency purge, the buggy's waiting to grab me.
Grab you? Echoed Jake.
Yeah.
I figured I'd be the bait.
Why?
Because it's fucking... He stopped, sighed. Because it's risky. I should take the risk.
Callie raised an eyebrow at him.
Someone needs to outrun the monster. Someone needs to fight the zombies in the hall. Which of us is going to be better doing which?
I like that you've completely taken me out of this,
said Tessa.
No mention of me at all. Sorry, I just assumed you... No, I'm serious. I like it. You assumed right.
She waved at the console.
Let's face it, I'm more use here than out there, closer to what I'm trained for.
Okay, said Callie. She looked back at Jake. So you battle hallway zombies, I get the monster.
Your call, not mine.
Any ideas on how to lure it?
Jake shrugged.
Just let it see you.
I don't think it has eyes,
Tessa said.
Smell you then, hear you, sense you. Just make some noise and keep getting closer until it comes after you.
Callie took a breath, nodded.
How am I getting back into Celine Boulevard with a spacesuit on?
All the alleys locked down when we closed the big emergency doors.
Tessa pulled up the map of Luna City and pushed in on the avenue.
We could get you in the same way it did, through the vents, in a spacesuit.
Tessa shook her head.
You get the suit at the other end. The Celine warehouse is where they store the old suits and extra components. You crawl through the vents, come out in there. Then you can pull together a suit before you go monster baiting.
Jake coughed out a laugh. Callie snorted. Tessa thought about what she had said for a moment and let out a few nervous giggles.
I don't know,
said Callie.
Does it count as monster baiting when you're just trying to finish off the other person?
Jake laughed, hard. Tessa squealed. Callie grinned at her own joke.
Fuck me, said Jake. Who knew Callie Washington had such a filthy mind?
I suspected,
said Tessa.
What can I say? Getting ready for suicide missions brings out the best in me.
I've noticed, Jake said. They all took a few breaths and calmed themselves.
Okay,
said Tessa.
We're outside, we've got the buggy, hopefully the monster's following us. Hopefully it's freezing solid,
said Callie. Jake held his hand up and crossed his fingers. Hope for the best, plan for the worst.
How do we get it into the Hathaway?
I'll still be in my suit, said Jake. I could hop out, double the bait, and then we just run into the cargo hold.
Callie raised an eyebrow.
And?
I don't know, run past it, lock it in.
Can you go from the cargo pod to the passenger pod in a 50-50?
They did on the Goddard,
said Tessa.
As far as I know, they're all based on the same design.
So, Callie said, we lock ourselves in with it and then go out into the passenger section.
Not too fond of that idea, said Jake. It's big, but I'm pretty sure it could still follow us through any of the hatches on a carrier.
We lock them behind us.
Just saying. This plan's thin as it is.
Got a better idea?
He bit his upper lip again.
Feed it a bunch of tourists?
If only it was that easy.
Hey, he said, you're finally thinking like a lunar.
Callie nodded at the map.
So where's the best vent for me to go through?
Tessa studied the desktop map, then pushed in on the image.
Probably here,
she said, pointing at a double line. She tapped it, and it lit up.
You should be able to make it all the way to the storage room.
How far is that?
A little over 82 meters, if we put you in here.
Tessa tapped another junction. Jake looked at Callie.
How fast do you think you can crawl that?
Hands and knees?
Maybe.
Plan for the worst, right?
Callie looked at the map.
Let's say 10 minutes for me to crawl through if I have to drag myself through on my elbows.
You should probably call it 20,
said Tessa.
You'll have to remove at least one filter screen along the way, and you'll probably want to go slow and be quiet.
Half an hour, then, Jake said, to play it safe.
Okay, half an hour to storage, 20 minutes to get a suit together and on by myself.
Jake bobbed his head back and forth, weighing the time.
Okay.
Even in a suit, I can walk to the far end of the boulevard in 5 minutes,
she said.
3 minutes back, running. So we're looking at an hour from the time you go into the vents until we purge Celine,
said Tessa.
That'd work, Jake said. 10 minutes for me to get back to the Gagarin lock, 10 to get a suit on with some help, 15 minutes down the hall to Anubis, 5 to get her up and running, another 15 to drive around to the far end of Celine. I could even do a big loop, maybe draw some of the zombies away.
That'd be nice.
You jump on Anubis and we lead the space squid whale to the carrier. We lock it in, hit the big button, and away it goes.
You make it sound so easy,
said Tessa.
Do you really think it'll go like that?
He pulled his cap off.
Not really. No.